Hi everyone. It's Friday afternoon in New York City, and I thought I would just share this little outtake from A Day in the Life of the Roses with you. So my kids wanted to try a Knutson soda from the health food store the other day. They typically bring me these things as I shop and hope that I'll say, okay. They know that okay either means it won't make your blood dirty or it's not a great choice, but you can have it this time. The late July Oreos are one such item. I know that now and then my kids would like to eat something that looks remotely like the junk food their friends at school eat. I remember that feeling when I was a kid. So now and then, I'll let them throw something like this into the basket. Little things like that seem to release any pressure of otherwise constriction. I find that, you know, it's all relatively harmless. What I'm most pleased with, though, is not that they are such healthy children or that they eat primarily unadulterated foods, but I love the fact that they are conscious of what they put into their body, even if it's not an ideal choice. They know what food should be, and they know what makes food harmful. They understand that processed food has a hard time leaving the body, and that it makes the blood dirty. My daughter wanted to taste a bacon and cheese sandwich in a restaurant the other day. It was a special afternoon, just for the two of us, and after running around the city together, we stopped at Alice's Teacup, which is an ultra-special tea room in our neighborhood. She ordered a tea with finger sandwiches, scones, and all the fixins. This is not a usual practice for us, so I said, "You must have whatever you like." She wanted the ham and cheese finger sandwich. She'd never had that one before and wanted to try it. There are very few things that are lower on my list than ham, but who was I to go back on my word or interfere with her desire? She has lived with me for 8 years, and she's been exposed to more knowledge about the human body and its care than most adults in the health field. With all this, she desired a ham sandwich. She's heard it from me countless times. We don't eat piggy because we don't kill animals for food. Animals are our friends. We don't eat our friends. She knows what goes on in the slaughterhouses. She knows the poor quality of the meat and how it sticks in the tissue and leads to imbalances and diseases in the body. You can't tell her anything she doesn't already know about why one would not want to eat piggy. I figured if she knows all of this and she still desires a ham sandwich, I think she's entitled to order it. She's taking her truth into her own hands, and I applaud that. Though I tried to concentrate on our conversation as much as possible, as I didn't want to cringe as I watched my beautiful clean cell daughter consume those slices of piggy. Here's what impressed me most. She said, as she chewed the sandwich with relish, and I think I heard her moan with pleasure, "Mom, I know what I'm doing. I know this isn't good, and I know how they make this." That was all I needed to hear. She was fully conscious. She was making a choice from awareness, and she was in the moment, conscious of exactly what she was doing, and she was enjoying it utterly. How many people eat consciously? Are in the bite with awareness of where the food came from and how it feels and tastes in the moment. Conscious eating is not just about being a vegan or food combining or even choosing healthy foods. It is equally important to apply conscious eating to the not so healthy choices. If you're going to go out and eat a pizza or an ice cream sundae and you do it consciously, you're in a high space. If we pay attention to what is on our palate in the moment that we are consuming it, we will gain a tremendous amount of insight and satisfaction. Mindless eating imprisons, not the poor food choices. The poor food choices are just the typical result of mindless eating. They almost always go hand in hand, but as my daughter taught me, not always. In the spirit of this, when my kids asked me for the Knutson soda, I agreed and let them each have one. But on the way home, my ever-probing son asked me if it was healthy. I feel sorry for my kids sometimes. They never get a simple yes-no answer from me. They wind up with a full explanation on the micro and macrocosmic levels. In this case, it was the correspondence between oxygen, carbon dioxide, and the interdependence of human and plant life. In answering his question, I first reminded them of what they knew about oxygen and how cells need oxygen to live. I explained that when a cell doesn't get oxygen, it's like you're putting a pillow over the little cell's face and suffocating it. Then I explained that carbon dioxide is the waste byproduct of oxygen, and that we never want to take in that which the body is throwing off. It is harmful to the cells. It's toxic. I explained that while taking in the carbon dioxide, it's like eating our waste. Plants and earth benefit from dung, but we don't. They take human and animal waste and give off vegetation, just like the trees take in our breath waste and give off oxygen for us. So they understood that carbon dioxide suffocates the cells because it fills the space where the oxygen should be, that which the cells need to live. Carbonated drinks do the same thing as carbon dioxide, I explained, as do unfavorable foods. Okay, get to the point already, Mom. Like I said, poor kids. So then I reminded them of what they already know. The trees breathe in carbon dioxide and release oxygen. In this way, we are a beautiful system. We breathe out carbon dioxide and they breathe out oxygen, which we live on. It's the most beautiful exchange of energy, perhaps in all of nature. My son quickly chirped in, "How can something that is bad for us be good for them?" This brought us to the second part of the lesson, interdependence. The fact that we are different makes us stronger. If trees were designed to live on oxygen, we would all be fighting for the same rarefied air. If everyone was made the same way, had the same talents and dreams, we would all be keeping the same beat, dancing the same boring dance, and no one would be able to learn or glean anything from each other. But since we're all different, we have this incredibly rich, fun, exciting experience on this planet. The best definition of interdependence is unity among diversity. The differences support the whole. The trees support us, and in a life-generating world, we would see this and protect them and revere all life as it all has a place in the ideal interdependent tapestry of our world. All right, hope you enjoyed that little tidbit. Be back soon with more. Bye for now.